1 Corinthians 16:13 and 14. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Kind of a contrast. Kind of a set of opposites. One of them seems to be getting the person ready for a battle. These are the finishing words that Paul has toward a very messed up church. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems. Paul had dealt with those problems throughout the previous pages, but now he's saying, in his parting words, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And then he says, let all your things be done with vengeance. It's not very military, is it? But it's Christian. So we are in a fight, but Christians fight differently, don't we? Now this morning, we're looking at the beginning for the month of October, looking at the beginning of the concept of staying alert, being aware, being on guard and prepared for attack. Are there enemies who would like to destroy this church? Are there people out there who would come and march and would bomb this place as we meet? Probably not. We're not in Afghanistan. So probably there aren't many people who'd like to destroy and blow up this place. But we do have enemies, don't we? Who would like to destroy what we have here. They are not physical. They are spiritual. And we're looking at how to be on guard. The French have a phrase. They use that phrase when you see these two guys in white, you know? And they got those pitiful little feminine swords, you know? They're not even real, you know? They're very pointy, by the way. And they look at each other. When they get ready to fight, what do they say? On guard. Now, that is a word kind of like golf. You know why they say four? Because they're saying, look out below, amen. Whatever's ahead of me, look out. And when they bring that sword up and they say on guard, they're saying, be prepared. Do you understand? And as a Christian, we need that challenge this morning. I am standing here just repeating what Paul says, that basically most Christians are unprepared. We have a sneaky, deadly enemy. Does he tell the truth? Actually, he does. He tells a whole lot of truth with just a little bit of error. And it destroys the whole statement that he says. All you have to do is just give one lie and you are a liar. Amen? So the devil loves telling the truth, but he will make sure that he will not stick to the truth. Amen? We have a sneaky, deadly enemy. He's the best at sneak attacks. He's the best at luring people into temptation. And he lures them right into some of the most deadly and destructive traps imaginable. Basically, we need to learn to see him coming. I have never seen the devil. I've seen some people who look like him. But I've never seen the devil, and if I ever did meet him, guess what I would think? He's the nicest guy I ever met. He's the best looking, he's the best, you know, talking. He must be a politician, maybe, I don't know. We need to see him coming. We need to learn how to sense him at work around us so that we can better defend ourselves. I've come to realize that most Christians are blind. I believe they are. Okay? I was almost going to get Joseph, come up here. Joseph, I'll use you as well. Come up here, both of you. And I was going to use a sock, but I... Take your glasses off. Take your glasses off. All right, now you stand right up here. This is a fresh hanky, so don't be worried. Amen? At least it was fresh last week. Amen? All right, now, hold still. Hoping you had the smaller head, but I was wrong. Good night. Need somebody with a small head, and it didn't work. Let's see if I catch your hair. Don't scream. What hair? It's fake. No, sorry.
carpet indeed. This is not working. I was going to bring a sock. No, I'm not going to take off his tie. All right, well, that'll have to do. Because it's just... All right, now look. Do you realize how unfair this fight is going to be? Go ahead. Just provoke him. Do anything you want to him. Come on, defend yourself. Come on, Joseph, put up a fight. All right, sit down. Folks, a lot of Christians are like a blind boxer trying to defend themselves from an opponent. And they wonder why they're so beat up and defeated. They wonder why they have so many bruises, why they have so many hurts, why they have so much past defeat. And the problem is, they are not aware of the devil. They're not aware of his tactics, what the Bible calls his devices, how he devises plans of attack. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your blind spots. He knows when you're not looking. This morning, I want to begin to understand spiritual discernment. I can look outside and go, hey, looks like it's going to be a pretty good day. Because I can discern, hey, the sun's out. It's probably going to be a good day, amen? Jesus talked to the Pharisees and he says, you can see the red sky in the evening and you know it's going to be a nice day tomorrow. But you cannot discern the signs of the times. You have no spiritual discernment. This morning I want to begin a two-week training course on how to sharpen the sixth sense of the believer. We all have five normal senses. We all have the ability to touch, taste, hear, smell, and see. Now, moms kind of have a sixth sense already, amen? They know when Junior is up to no good, amen? And they have that sixth sense. And that is a sense that moms have. But there's another sense, and it's basically, it is the true sixth sense for all believers, and that is a spiritual discernment of spiritual things. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And watch the two births here. How many births do you have to get into heaven? Ah, you figured it out. Amen. There are two births. You must be born the first time. So angels cannot be saved. Do you understand? If they ever fall, which they did, they cannot be born again. Do you understand? Because they've never been born. So you got to have a first birth so that you can have a necessary second birth. Look at verse 14. The natural man, that's the person who's born the first time, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what unto him? Oh, they're craziness. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. That word discerned means figured out. They're spiritual in nature. And if you don't have a regenerated spirit, how many parts are there to you? Not fingers and toes, but how many parts are there to you? Three. Body, soul, and? And you are born with a dead spirit. Like buying a mobile phone and the battery's dead from the start. It's got to be regenerated, doesn't it? And when you were born the first time, you were born with a dead spirit. It needed to be regenerated. No amount of praying over the phone, no amount of lifting the phone up, no amount of talking to the phone, no amount of rubbing the phone would regenerate it. Do you understand? And you, no matter how good you were, no matter how much you prayed, no matter how much money you gave, no matter how much church attendance you gave, it never regenerated you. Only the Holy Spirit of God can regenerate you. Only by being born again can somebody get the Spirit of God in them. Amen? So, I want to talk about that sixth sense, something that will allow you to spiritually discern our enemy. Now, by way of background, there is more to this world than meets the eye. Let's look at three verses, three scriptures. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. You have a man named Elisha. Elisha's got a servant. And they're sort of stuck in a small village called Dothan. 2 Kings 6 and verse 14. One morning, the servant wakes up and let's see what he sees. Now, chapter 6 and verse 13. Chapter 6 and verse 14. Therefore sent he, this was a king of Syria, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great army host. And they came by night and they compassed the city about. It'd be like 50 guys surrounding your house. Now these were hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of soldiers, but they've surrounded the city looking for Elisha. They surrounded the village, verse 15. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early, and he's got his coffee in his hand, when he had gone forth, he was looking up, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, said back unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? You know what he's saying? We're going to die. He says, what are we going to do? Now, I love this. In verse 16, and he, Elisha, answered back two powerful words. What are they? Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I can imagine the servant going, I don't see any army, I just see enemy. Verse 17, and Elisha did what? And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, he already could see, couldn't he? He saw very well, but he did not see something much more powerful and something much more important. Open his eyes that he may see, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So one minute, he's defeated. One minute, he's discouraged. One minute, he's at the end of his rope. One minute, he feels that they're going to be killed and there's no hope. And Elisha says, fear not. And I guarantee you that the servant said, yeah, right. You ever had that? You ever had somebody say, be of good cheer, and you wanted to punch him? Amen? And Elisha says, fear not. And then he quotes a scripture and he says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. That's in the New Testament, by the way. He's quoting the New Testament before it's written. And again, the servant said, yeah, right. And then he said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see what's really out there. And in one brief blip of a wink of an eye, he closed his eye, opened up, and there's a whole army. And they are on fire. They are ready to fight. And they're just waiting for the command to defeat this pitiful little army that was surrounding them. And Elisha says, now you're afraid? I want you to see there's more to this life and what you're going through than what meets the eye. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Job chapter 2. Just before Psalms is the book of Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2 verse 1. Again, there was a day. You with me? Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, was that on some mountain somewhere? Was that in some city? Was there a big convention, you know, down in the RDS? Not at all. And yet it was happening. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, hey, where you been, dude? That's in the original. From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, hey, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it, I've been absolutely everywhere. And the Lord said unto him, really? Again, I'm quoting the original. Hast thou considered my servant Job? Did you ever meet him? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, hates evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And that's true. Push comes to shove, I want to live. In verse 5, but put forth thine hand now, Satan says, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life.
So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, the top of his head. And he took him a posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And I want you to understand, one night he went to bed, kissed his wife, hugged her, pulled the sheets up under over him, and went straight to sleep, sweet sleep. And in the morning he woke up and he was covered with some of the most painful things you've ever had. They're called boils. And in your life, I bet you've had maybe one at a time. But you've never been covered with them. The pain of them, because they swell, they're so full of pus that they hurt. They make you cry. And he would take a broken piece of a pot and would scrape himself to break open the pus to relieve the pressure, and another one would rise up. And there he was that morning, woken up. Do you think he knew where he came from? Do you think he could wake up and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil? He had no idea where he came from. So the Lord pulls back the shades of heaven and shows us a spiritual battle, and Job's in the middle of it. You ever wonder why you have a bad Monday? You may hate Mondays. The devil must love them. Amen? You ever wonder why you wake up and you're sick or you're fired? It probably is a byproduct of a spiritual battle. There's more to what's going on. You ever had somebody just walk up to you and bite your head off? You go, what did I do? Probably nothing. But there's another enemy out there, and it's just a spillover. There's more to it than just somebody yelling at you, than just somebody being mean to you, than just somebody firing you. Amen? Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's depressing. I struggle with trying to win my fights. Do you? I get into a fight, I want to win, amen? But I find myself fighting the wrong enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So anytime you're in an argument with a human being, you're arguing with the wrong person. Anytime you're in an argument or in a fight with flesh and blood, you're fighting the wrong person. That's why the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive when you're soul winning. You don't get into an argument. You don't come to punches over the truth, amen? Because they're only blinded. They're not the problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. How many had a principal in your school when you were growing up? Amen. A principality is a powerful spiritual demon. Principalities and against powers. Not just one power. I wish it was just one problem that I could struggle with. But there are powers. They come at me from all directions. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, we need to begin to sense and to wrestle the right enemies. Now, God gave us five commands in 1 Corinthians 16. Anybody want to quote for me? Remember, we've looked at it. We started with the memorization. We read it. What was the first one? Watch ye. The first thing we need to do is become aware of the spiritual and not just the physical. What was the second phrase? Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. The second thing that we are commanded to do is to dig our heels in and never back away from the victory that Christ has promised us. Amen. I'm sick and tired of wimpy Christians. Amen. You ought to be too. Third, what was it? First one, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. What's the third one? Quit ye like men. We're going to learn what it means to quit there in a minute. It's a great word. It simply means to finish what we start. You don't want to. I hate quitters. Amen? Because there's a time to quit, isn't there? One of these days, we do get to quit. Amen? I'm quitting this life one of these days. But I'm not the one that chooses when. Amen? Do you understand?
but I'm looking forward to quitting time. Is anybody with me? So quit like a man instead of quitting like a baby. I'm going home. We'll get to that. Next one. What's the next one? Watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong. And he's talking about a resistance. Put up a good fight and be strong in Christ's strength. And then the last part is part that verse 14 says, do all your things with charity. Do everything with charity. That's amazing. I'm supposed to go into a fight and love them. It's going to be awesome. Father, please bless these truths as we begin this study. Open our eyes. Help us to see where the devil's been working. And help us to start to resist. And Lord, I pray, God, if there's anybody in here who's unsaved and uncertain of their relationship with you, they've got to see that the devil is a liar. And no matter what comfort, no matter what confidence they may have, if it's not in what Jesus Christ did in him alone, if they're trusting a church, if they're trusting their good works, if they're trusting a prayer and not Jesus Christ, it's a dead end. Lord, help them to see the spiritual battle for their soul. Jesus fought for it. The devil lies about it. It's time for them to believe on Jesus only and follow him. Lord, I pray the rest of us would have our eyes really open today and next week in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a 2-week thing, by the way. There's no way to cover all this stuff. All five of those things are going to help us understand what is going on in our lives because it is a fight. And I'm just going to look at three of them. Going to try. We'll see how far it goes. The first one is watch ye. Watch ye. This is a military term. It describes a Christian as a soldier on duty, guarding his family, guarding his thought life, guarding his eyes, guarding his church family. We're supposed to be on the lookout. There's an Old Testament concept of watch. They're told over and over in the Old Testament, watch, watch, watch. As a matter of fact, they had trained professionals that were just called watchmen who were put in charge while everybody else is sleeping. They were on watch. They would stand on the brink of a fort or of a city wall, and they would stand there watching, peering into the darkness, watching for any movement that somebody might be trying to attack or trying to prepare for an attack. Those were watchmen. And this Old Testament concept would be played out with the Philistines and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Girgazites and the Flashlights and the Termites. All of the enemies of Israel never slept until they wanted Israel destroyed. And by the way, they're still around. Both Israel and her enemies. Amen. But there's a New Testament concept which Jesus repeats over and over, and he uses the same word. He says, watch, watch, watch. Why? Because the Philistines are attacking? Why? Because the Romans were attacking? No, he says that there are spiritual enemies. You must be more prepared. How am I supposed to treat my enemies now? I'm supposed to pray for them. I'm supposed to bless them. I'm pointing to him as my enemy. I'm supposed to feed them and not poison them. The New Testament concept, however, says I need to be fully aware of my spiritual enemies. Simply, the Christian is to be spiritually aware. Become spiritually aware. 99% of all modern Christians are lethargic. They are careless. They are unwise about spiritual things. They basically have a very immature sixth sense. Jesus said it. He said, your ears have you stopped, and your eyes have you closed. He didn't close them. You know what? If you stayed up till 3, 4, 5 a.m., and you sat there and you watched television all night long, how perceptive would you be this morning? You wouldn't be. Your eyes would just be a blur, a glaze if you were here. Amen? And if you've got those iPods in your ear, and you've got it all, those iPod earplugs in your ears, you got it all cranked up, you're listening to your tunes, and they're rock beating and going along, and you take those out, and then somebody tries to talk to you, you're like... Amen? They've gone numb. And those are Christians. They don't like hard preaching. They don't like straight talking. Because it just gets on my nerves.
Most Christians are worried about only what they see or what they feel. They're worried about losing their jobs, but they're not worried about losing their joy. They're worried about whether they get sufficient praise by men.
Nobody likes me. Nobody appreciates me.
They're worried about the praise of men instead of the future praise of God. Christians are worried about, well, I'm lonely. And they're not worried about fellowshipping and walking with Jesus. And He's the one who says, I created you because I was lonely. They're worried about how they've been hurt. I've been treated unjustly, instead of worrying about forgiveness and mercy and praise.
Amen.
They see a pretty girl, they don't see a trap and a time bomb. Amen. Gentlemen, some girl wiggling her hips is not fair game. It's a trap. And you need to read Proverbs chapter 6 and 7 talking about it. Because it's real clear. The simpleton just goes... And they know not that the dead are there, the Bible says. Amen. Her feet go down to hell. Don't you mess with that thing. Some girl sees a toy boy and she doesn't see him for what he really is, a selfish, brutal animal who will turn on her one day and she'll be going into the garden with bruises all over her and everything. Don't think that everybody that's pretty and everybody that walks nice and everybody that winks is not a trap. You better start seeing things for what they really are. Modern Christians have no understanding about the spiritual dimension around them. And believe me, it is just as real as the physical. I'm standing here and I close my eyes and I walk out onto the South Lake. What's going to happen to me? Bye-bye, Pastor. Amen? But if I have my spiritual eyes and I just walk into a friendly relationship with some woman and I get a little close to her, just like an 18-wheel lorry, my life is over. Do you understand? Just as real as the physical world, standing there and getting hit by a truck, is when you play with the spiritual realm and you're not aware of the devil's devices. Amen? Have I got anybody's attention?
Yes, sir.
Jesus commanded us, and He didn't just say watch and watch and watch and watch. He said watch and pray. Look at Mark 13. Mark 13. Matthew, Mark 13. And verse 32. Mark 13, 32. But of that day, speaking of His second coming, He says, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither me, the Son, but the Father. He knows. So, verse 33, He says, take ye heed. You better pay careful attention. Watch and what? For you know not when your time is. When the time is. Peter didn't ever understand that. Look at Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 41. Stuck in verse 40. And He cometh to the disciples. He findeth them asleep. Must have been a long church service. And He saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and what? Now, are they supposed to be on the watch for Judas? They have no idea that Judas is out there. They didn't know that Judas had gone and gotten a large crowd. But Jesus wasn't worried about Judas. He was worried about His disciples being overwhelmed by satanic attack. Watch and pray. And I thought about this. Watch and pray, watch and pray. I waste a lot of time watching and worrying. Amen. I'm on the watch. I'm watching out for you. I'm watching out for finances. Watching out for making sure I got enough money in the bank account. I'm watching out for my kids. I'm watching out for my health. I'm not praying. Isn't that weird? I'm supposed to be concerned about the bank account. But I'm supposed to be praying at the same time. Amen? It's a spiritual awareness. Maybe my lack of bank account is showing me just how lackful I am in trusting. If I prayed more, I wouldn't be worried about my bank account. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is anybody connecting here? Amen. So Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter never understood that, but later he does. Look at 1 Peter 4:7. I'm glad the Lord gives us second chances. Amen. Because Peter, after that, Peter wakes up, and when Jesus is taken hostage and taken down to the judgment hall, Peter falls from behind, and then he denies the Lord, and he curses his name, and he realizes, I really blew it. 1 Peter 4. But when he gets the second chance, look at verse 7. 1 Peter 4:7. He learns this. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Doesn't look like it's the end of the world, but Peter says, spiritually it is. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer. You know what he's doing? He's remembering what Jesus told him, and he says, I finally got it, now I'm telling you. Look at chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Hey, there's not anybody in this room who'd like to go driving with somebody who's not sober. Amen? There's not anybody in this room who would go driving, go sit in the passenger seat with somebody who's not sober. Are you listening? You wouldn't sit down with somebody and help them cut down a tree with a chainsaw if they were not sober, would you? And yet we think we don't have to be sober as Christians. We don't think that we're just as dangerous as a driver who's not sober. Are you listening? And he says, be sober. Not just be sober, but be vigilantly sober. Why? For your adversary, your mother-in-law, walketh about as though. She's not the problem, amen? You have a wonderful mother-in-law. You know it. I'm treading on dangerous ground. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion. Now, that's a great statement. He's out there. You hear him, but you don't see him. But he's out there, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are five things to watch over in your life. What I'm trying to give you is a spiritual radar. A sense where you wake up and you go, something's not right. Something's not right. And you need to be able to say, Lord, I need to find out what's wrong and I need to get it right. Maybe it's not with me. Maybe I'm right, but maybe something's wrong. Something's attacking my husband. You need a spiritual radar that says, something's attacking my kids. Amen? We got to have a spiritual radar. Men especially, because we're double dense. We have no genes for awareness. Amen? Moms are. They got that awareness thing. But guys are like, oh, so what? They'll get over it. But we get saved and God tries to put some awareness in us so that we click on that radar and go, bing, bing, bing. There's an enemy nearby. How to be spiritually aware. This is our first part of the message. And it's in the wrong spot. Let me run through here. Well, I'll go ahead and do it. And then I'll tell you where you need to be spiritually aware. It's okay. How to enhance your awareness of spiritual things. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. You say, Pastor, how do I become more spiritually aware? Number one, you need to make sure that you're spiritually alive. Look at John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's your first birth, and of the Spirit, that's your second birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. I have to have a spiritual birth to appreciate spiritual things. Amen? I got to get out of the womb. You must make sure that you're spiritually alive. You may be, hey, if I took a, you know, those
safety pins? Is that what they're called here? You know what I'm talking about? And I poked him. Would we find out if he's physically alive? Oh, yeah. Amen. It'd be fun. But you have to know whether you're spiritually alive. You've got to know whether you're saved. You just don't hope so, guess so, pray so, have the best intentions so. No, you must know so. You must be born again. Because there's no faking the spiritual senses, man. No faking it at all. Make sure you're born again. Secondly, it's going to get rough. If you're going to become more spiritually alive, you're going to need to fast a lot. You know what gets in the way of living spiritually? The flesh. And if I, now I don't mean get rid of your flesh. You can't get rid of your flesh. All of us are in the flesh. But if I just don't hear the sweet, soft, whispering words of the Holy Spirit, it's because my flesh is screaming like a tantrum of a child. And I've never been able to tell my flesh, shut up. Amen. The perfect illustration is the moms, they got their kids in the shop, and the kids are screaming and yelling. And mom's like, don't get upset, Johnny. Oh, now, Susie, come over here. No, we're going to go get the cereal aisle in any minute. Just hold on. And she has no rest. She can't think. She has no joy. She can't wait to get home. She's got these kids she wants to kill, but she just loves them so much. You know what we do? Our flesh screams, I want this, and I want that, and why are we here, and when can I go, and why can't I do that? And your flesh is going on, and what that mom needs to do is pick up one of those kids and says, me mom, you're dead. Don't say another word until we get home. And you've got to get a hold of your flesh and pick it up and say, shut up. I'm tired of hearing you telling me what I have to do and commanding me and controlling me, and I'm not listening to you today. You tell me I got to watch some stupid, filthy show. I'm not. You're telling me I got to go and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until I get happy, and not today. I'm fasting. You know what that does? It enables you to switch off from listening to the flesh so that you can hear the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to fast for the rest of your life. You'll have a very short life. Amen? But what He does want you to do is on occasion, when all you do is just, this is you.
Life is boring.
You know what? My life has never been boring one day of my life since getting saved. I've had the time of my life. I wish it'd slow down every once in a while. And if your life is boring, it's because you're a spoiled brat. Amen? You're spoiled. And there's some times where you need to just fast. You ever had breakfast? How many of you had breakfast this morning? You know what you had? You had a break in the fast. You went all night without eating. Some of you wish you could eat in your sleep. But you went all night without eating, and then you woke up and you went, I can't wait to break the fast. You need to have a fast. You need to switch off the television, unplug it, throw away the RTE guide, and go for a week without it. You know what will happen when you go a week without it? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will come and say, good boy. Good boy. Let's go talk. Maybe you'll hear me now. Because the Holy Spirit does not raise His voice. Amen. You need to fast a lot. Some of you need to fast a lot soon. Third, you need to read a lot. If you're going to be more spiritually aware, you're going to need to read large amounts of the Bible and learn how to test what you feel and what you experience by what you read. Because most of you only know what you feel. You only know what you've experienced, and you don't know how to say, you know, I feel like quitting. I feel like getting angry. I feel like hurting.
And you don't know how to put that thing in context and say, but the Holy Spirit told me in the Bible, this is what I got to do instead. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every politician. Is that what it says? I tell you, I got so mad. I really got mad when Brian Cowan got up there and he said, the Irish have spoken. The vote of the Irish is sovereign. And I went, how can he talk out of both sides of his mouth? I know. I thought it was sovereign before. And they made the vote before. Now they're making the vote again. And they'll do it again when it comes to abortion. You know it. And he will say the Irish vote is sovereign after he brings in abortion. But he will not try. I'm just telling you. Believe not every politician. Anyway, that's another word. The Bible says believe not every, what is the word? Spirit. But try the spirits, whether they be of God, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So here comes somebody, here comes Keith. He says something smooth and good and warm. What does the Bible say? Don't just believe the false prophet. You don't know if he's a false prophet. He says what? Don't believe every spirit. Because there are lots of false prophets out there. Verse 2. He goes on. He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit, not just a mouth, but every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. We're not just dealing with spirits, we're dealing with demonic spirits. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The point is, you need to read a lot. How am I going to know if Keith is a right guy or a false prophet? Everybody's worried about him now. How am I going to know? I got a book that tells me. Amen? Amen. You're going to need to read a lot. I'm afraid our name is not lived. We are Bible Baptist Church. And for a lot of us, there's very little Bible. And I'm telling you, if you want to be spiritually aware, you're going to have to get into that Bible where you're reading not just a chapter, not even just two or three, but there are times if you are hungry and yearning for a spiritual radar to be able to detect when the devil is hitting you and when he's coming at you and when he's moving, you're going to need to be in that Bible a lot. I mean, read a lot. If you read as much of that Bible as you do the Examiner, you do well. Amen? Fourth thing you need to do, you need to repent a lot. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, the only thing the Holy Spirit does to a stubborn person is walk away from them. Most dangerous thing for any human being is to be alone. Now, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but the Bible says you can quench him and you can frustrate him where he pulls away and just lets you have your day. So if you want the Holy Spirit to be very present in your life and communicating and walking with you and giving and pouring out the joy and the love and the peace that He has for every believer, if you want that, you need to repent a lot. You need to be very aware of your hurt of others and your hurt of God. You need to be quick to say, that was wrong. It was wrong what I said, and I hurt them. It hurt you, Lord, and I'm sorry. And I'm going to go right to them and say, I'm sorry. You give somebody a 10-euro note, and they give you back change. It should be a 5, and they give you a tenner. Bless God. It's God giving me a blessing. No, it's not. Go back and say, sorry, I'm always supposed to get a 5. Amen. Because if you start collecting people's mistakes to your benefit, the Holy Spirit goes, but if you are sorry and you just say, God, I repent. The Lord says, good. Let's start again. How long does it take for the Lord
to forgive us and start completely over. It's instant. How long does it take for your wife to do it? No, we won't talk to her.
I gotta see it.
You need to repent a lot. And that means more than just saying I'm sorry. Here we go. Love these guys on the front. Pow! Oh, I'm convicted. I'm sorry. That doesn't help. How about, you know, I need to make things up to him. Take him to lunch. Amen? I got to prove to him I'm never going to do that again. Amen? Repentance is not just being sorry. Amen? It's actually making up for it, too, and saying, I did this wrong, and I want to make it up to you. Amen? Repent a lot. You'll say, hey, you won't worry about anybody else. Well, Kathy, she's got a lot of problems. She should get this right now. You know what? If you're learning to repent a lot, you won't worry about it because you'll be so busy with yourself. Amen? Repent a lot. One more. You need to obey a lot. You need to obey a lot. I mean, it's just really deep, isn't it? I learned from Brother Blunkhall. Amen? Obey a lot. The Holy Spirit does not work when he is not listened to. He doesn't work when he's not listened to. If you want the Holy Spirit to be vibrant in your life, it doesn't come because he keeps giving you all these feelings. It happens because you obey, because you submit, because you come under authority and you do it for his sake. You do it for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God filling you up. How many want to be filled with the Spirit? I desperately do. But I don't. We got it all reversed. We want to be filled with the Spirit to have a good feeling so that I can start to obey. You know what the Lord says? Obey when you don't want to. Amen. So obey a lot. Start doing what you're supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will be in there. Now let me help you. Amen. Let me help you. Let me help you. How to be more spiritually aware. There are five things to watch over in your life, and we'll be through. There are five things to watch over in your life from a spiritual viewpoint. First of all, your thoughts. What does it say? Watch ye. Does he tell you exactly what? He just goes, watch ye. So all of a sudden, you need to fill in the blank. Watch your thoughts. Take your Bible, two scriptures, real quick. First scripture, Philippians 4:8. You need to watch what you think. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Turn now to 2 Corinthians 10. Go back to the left, 2 Corinthians 10. I think it's amazing. God tells us what to think. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, casting down what? Wow. I wish I could illustrate that. I wish I could show you just how my imagination's become so high and mighty in my mind. I start to imagine, I start to think, and conjure up is an Americanism, whether I don't know if you've heard that before. I begin to create a whole world of what I think you're thinking. And what you're doing, and why this happened, and why that didn't happen. You know what I need to do with it? Grab it and smash it. You're not the truth. You're a figment of my imagination, and you probably were given to me by the devil. So that I would be angry, so I would hate, so I'd become bitter, so I would stop loving my brother. I need to pay attention to what I allow my mind to think about and what I allow my mind to worry about. What's going through your mind all day long? You need to grab it and stop it and say, this ain't true. This is not honest. This is not just. This is not pure. This is not right. This is not lovely. This is not virtuous. There's no praise in it. You're out. Amen. Your thoughts are five things you need to be. When you get to heaven, guess what God's going to do? He's not just going to ask you why you did something. He's going to say, why did you think that? Because every idle word, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you better be in charge of what you're thinking. You tell that to your kids. You were thinking it. I know you. Second thing you need to be in charge of from a spiritual viewpoint are your words. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Listen to David. Let the words of my mouth, Psalm 19:14, middle of your Bible, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I need to analyze my words. And I like this. You ought to always ask yourself, are my words breaking you down? Kicking you while you're down? Stomping on you while you're down? Or are they building you up? Now, sometimes if I am going to build you up, I may have to be straight up and rebuke. Amen? Amen. But I don't do it out of anger. I don't do it out of revenge. I do it because I care. That's right. And I want to get it over with and get back to going forward. Amen? So make sure. Ask yourself, are my words that I'm saying all day, are the words that I'm saying to anybody, do they edify? Do they encourage? Do they help? Well, this is going to help. Your words. Third, your attitudes in your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Next verse, Proverbs 4:23. Next book there. You know the most, you know what's worse than your imagination? You know what's worse than your imagination, John? Your heart. Just when I get my imagination under control, my heart throws up something else. You know, the hardest thing you'll ever do is get a hold of your heart. Just follow your heart. You're an idiot. Because your heart is like a Mercedes at 120 miles an hour. And nobody's driving. Your heart has no control unless you have control. You can say, dear Lord Jesus, control my heart. You can pray that all day long and He will not. He put you in charge of your heart. That's why you constantly say, Lord, this thing's in my heart and I want it out. Where comes adultery, fornication, lies, thefts, anger? Where do all those things come from? So when that stuff comes up, you're going to have to get control of it and say, I found this in the heart, Lord. It's in my heart. I want it out. Amen. Amen. Instead of, it wasn't there. Did you see that? I didn't see that. You need to have, look what he says in Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, keep thine heart with all what? It's kind of like the idea. Can you imagine if this was a box? And in that box was my heart. And it keeps popping up and taking over the show. You know what I need to do? Stay! I'm keeping it under control. Because your heart, when you let it run out of control, it turns into depression. Or it turns into lust. Out of control. You better keep control of your heart. Because your heart will tell you, oh, she loves me. Oh, that'll be fun. Your heart will lie to you. You better have control of it. Like a dog. Or a heel. Fourthly, your actions. Romans 12. Two more. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In verse 17, we kind of alluded to this, but look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Recompense means what? Reward or payback. Reward back to no man evil for evil. Well, you don't know what he did. I don't care what he did. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be true. Verse 18, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There are some people you may not be able to live with. I'm not talking about husband and wives either. There are some people you may not be able to live with. That's why you may have to move. But he goes on and he says, verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger," what are we supposed to do? "If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt really hurt him. You'll heap coals of fire on his head," amen. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You need to start to control your actions. Amen. Listen. Things that you have, when the Bible says watch ye, it means watch what you do. Watch your body language. "It's nice to see you. I hate your guts." Amen. You know what you need to be able to do? I don't care who, stand up. Put your Bible down for a minute. Only for a minute. You know what you need to be able to do to anybody who's born again, blood bought?
I love you. I don't like you, but I love you.
Thank you. Remember Buddy's message, amen? Your actions. He may have heard, he may have said, he may have done anything. Leave it to God. You be a blessing. Control, watch, be aware of your actions, because the devil will use you and will make you. I can't go into the next subject, but he will make you his vessel. Let me make this very plain. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with everything else. Unholy spirits. And I do not want this life, this vessel, to be his tool to hurt him. I don't want to give the devil the freedom to do any more destruction than he already is. So my actions, my thoughts, my heart, my words have to be controlled by me. I won't be able to do it all the time. That's why I'm praying. Watch and pray. Lord, help me. This tongue is getting me in trouble all the time. These thoughts are running out of control. I constantly have a flinching attitude towards somebody. One more. And your family, Job. Job. Gospel according to Job. One more thing you need to be aware of, spiritually aware of. A lot of parents are just happy to have a couple kids around. Junior, go out and cut down some trees, dig a few holes, and come in for supper, amen. Sounds fun. You need to watch out for the spiritual things in your family. Look at Job chapter 1 and look at these very powerful, powerful words in verse 5. "And it was so, when the days of their feasting," he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 4, "his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day." So they had a week-long feast, just a family get-together. "And they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them." And so they're having a great time. "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about," during the middle of it, "that Job sent and" what? "He sanctified them." You know what I think he did? He sent them some scriptures. He told them, "Hey, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to be in church on Sunday." They're on their own houses. But he's still sending and trying to influence them. But go on. "And he rose up early in the morning, and he," back under the Old Testament, "he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be." It wasn't that it was sure. His kids hadn't done anything wrong. But watch what he's afraid of. "It may be," in all of their revelry, in all of their fun, "it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God," not in their mouth, but in their what? He was afraid. His radar was, there's some danger coming. And instead, hey, listen, the devil was right there about to destroy them all. Wasn't he? All of his children were dead. His family, everything was destroyed. And what is he doing? He is praying. He is spiritually all ears open, all eyes open. He says, something's coming. I got to pray. Amen. You ever been there? You need to have an ability to sense things for your family. Because God made you. You're the parent. Your kid won't do right. Guess who has to answer for it? Amen. You need, from a spiritual viewpoint, you need to look at your kids and go, what am I doing wrong? What can I do differently? God, help me. My radar's been broken for so long. There's a lot more to say. Move on. You'll have to find out about that next week. I learned about being on guard. If I got my eyes shut, if I'm sleeping on the job and the devil, can he sneak up on me? That's why Paul says, now is the time to wake up. The night is far past, far spent. There are many who know not God. We need to learn about being alert. God gave us 5 commands. Somebody help me. What are they? Watch ye. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong and do all things with charity. We've looked at the first 3. Actually, we looked at only 1. Just to be spiritually aware. There are 2 more to go to get better prepared. I think as we come in, and don't you know it, October is that month where it gets dark. Not just outside, amen? But it gets dark everywhere. I've seen it. I've experienced demonic attack. I've experienced the devil just walking in, man. And you're like, where did he come from? How did he get in here? And I'd like to be able to say, I see you coming. Amen. I'm ready for you. Would you like that? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, the world makes fun of fear. Makes fun of the devil. Makes fun of witches and goblins and ghosts and demons. We know they're real. We don't play with them. We don't touch tarot cards, horoscopes, Ouija boards. We want nothing to do with the works of darkness. Lord, we're going to have to get something very much to do with the works of light. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus, when you were here, you spoke, you touched, you blessed, you helped, you led, and then you left. But you did not leave us alone. You sent the Comforter. And we've ignored him. We've become distant to him. We don't know how to sense his presence and his warnings. We don't wake up and go, ah, he's here. And we need to. Lord, we need a yearning this morning. We need a hunger and a desire like never before to be on guard. Our weapons, they're just as powerful as they were the day they were created. Our Bible, prayer, our unity. But we're unorganized. We're not ready. We're still in the mess hall. We're still feasting and just having fun, and we're not prepared for the fight. So this month, God, prepare us so that as it gets darker, the light shines brighter and our joy gets stronger and our walk gets firmer and more stable. And the devil just is not welcome. Not in our homes, not in our hearts, not in our thoughts, not in our words, not in our actions. I love hurting the devil. Lord, I pray, most of all, he'd get hurt that somebody would give their life, their soul, to you this morning and ask you to save them. Make it very clear to them that the battle is over them. The battle is to get them to believe a lie instead of believe just on Jesus Christ. May somebody have the courage to talk to me so they can talk to you. Or just to settle and say, God, I trust your Son, Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And I receive him now as my Savior. You said that God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I'm the sinner. And Christ died for me. So I accept it now. I want it now. I want it to be mine. Lord Jesus, we need that victory. Just like the day we got saved, we need that victory again today and tomorrow and the next day. Lord, we don't want to believe the devil anymore. We don't want to give any ground anymore. Make us strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's